Hey everybody, and welcome to Real Talk. Just two insignificant views on film. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/realtalkfilm and like us on Facebook at facebook.com/realtalkfilm.
I think we did that at the same time.
I think so. I think we did pretty good.
That's awesome.
Welcome to episode 10 of Real Talk.
Episode 10.
Episode 10. Unfortunately, for this wonderful, wonderful event, our co-host Nick is not here.
Nope.
He ran out. So, we have Doug.
Yay!
Doug is back. I know that Doug gained a few fans the last time that you were on.
Did I?
Mainly my wife. She
was
said...
Was it my voice?
Doug's got a really nice voice.
That's awesome. Yeah. Well, hello.
So,
I'm back.
Give her a shout out. Her name's Ashley.
Hey, Ashley. How's it going? I'm back.
I love that. Oh, man. So, what have you been up to since the last time you were on the
show? Let's see. What happened? Christmas and the holidays and all that fun stuff.
Very cool. Did you get any cool Star Wars toys for Christmas?
I got some Legos. I got the Sarlacc Pit Lego set with Boba Fett.
I'm not laughing anymore because now I'm jealous.
So that was cool. I think I got a couple of other little Boba Fett things. I like Boba Fett, so I got a couple Boba Fett just things.
Are you excited that they may make... You know what? I can't get into it. We got to save it. Okay. At the top of the show, I want to go ahead and give a little shout-out to something that we are doing. It's kind of a surprise. It's been building for a few days. I just told Doug off the air what we were going to do. We're opening up a whole new show. Now, it's going to be called Real Rewind. It's going to be released on Thursdays, and it's going to be me and my buddy Jason. We're going to sit down once a week. And we'll watch a movie from 2011 and the past. So before 2011. 2011 and before. However you want to say it. And then we'll go ahead and we'll kind of review it. We'll do a little review. We'll talk about it. We'll see how it holds up from when we first saw it to now. And if we would have given it the same score. Have you heard...
So you're going to watch... You guys are going to watch that Mario movie? Is that going to be one of the ones that you watch?
I am going to make it... I'm gonna make that one of the movies that we're gonna watch because I have to see how well it holds up. Nick just gives me so much crap about it.
It's not good. It's not good.
And here you go. Have you seen it recently?
I think I saw about like 5 minutes of it or more about a year and a half, 2 years ago, and I was just like, ugh. What?
We're gonna have to force ourselves to get through it if it's that bad. Now. I don't know. I think it's going to be a home run, but we'll see.
Yeah,
so we're going to do that once a week, and it's going to run probably... I'm guessing it's probably going to be about a 30-minute show. Somewhere around there, we'll try to keep it short because we have such a big show that we do here on every Tuesday. So with that, let's over... Screwed that up.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that again. Take two. With that, let's head on over to the movie news.
News team, assemble!
Okay, so Doug, big
yes.
news coming out of Hollywood. Today, Mr. Leonardo DiCaprio has decided that after this year, he's going to take a hiatus from acting.
Yeah, that's... like I was saying earlier, when we were kind of talking about the news stories, I don't blame him for this. He keeps getting snubbed, and
now, do you think it's because he's getting snubbed, or do you think he's just because he's worked so much in the last couple of years?
It's probably a little bit of both. I mean, you got to think he's been doing some amazing movies the past few years, and he's been nominated, so he's getting recognition, but he's never been given anything for it, and like. We talked about in Django, I thought he was one of the best roles in the movie. Like, I thought he was so good in that. And he didn't even get a nomination, like, for an Oscar. Whereas Christoph Waltz did. And I thought Christoph Waltz was really good in that movie, too. But I thought DiCaprio just stole that movie. I thought he was so good. And maybe so I don't know,
because he wasn't in the entire movie,
but for a supporting role, I mean, he was in a large portion of it. You know,
that's true. Yeah.
I don't know. So maybe it's a, if I was him, I would probably be taking a break as well, just because of that reason. I mean,
he's got. I mean, come on, he's got unlimited amount of funds. He can pick any woman that he wants in the world. He's done every single movie that he probably wants to do. And maybe he just run out of roles. Maybe he's just like, you know what? I don't know what else to do. Maybe he's pulling a Will Smith, you know, because Will Smith kind of disappeared for about 2 years until 2013, where he's coming back in a big way.
It's true. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah, it could be. What would you do in his situation? Would you be like, I mean, like, where would you go if you were taking a break from Hollywood?
I don't know. I mean, maybe take a backseat from acting and stuff, but I mean, is he going to not do anything? I mean, I can't imagine him not, like, producing something. You know, why not?
He wants to shift his focus to environmental work.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I've seen him on his Twitter, and he's a very big lover of the Tigers.
Really?
Yeah, he supports Tigers. And so I'm guessing that's maybe what he's going to get into. Maybe he'll have a Tiger farm.
Yeah.
Anyways, Warner Brothers is trying to reboot Gremlins.
Now you're laughing,
but I'm a little excited.
I have mixed feelings because there's that one part of me that's like, you know, why are we have to reboot everything? Because it's just what they're doing. But
it's such a classic.
Yeah. Now, if it's a reboot, not a remake, I know we've talked about this before. You guys have talked about it. Just if it's a new story with those characters or like newer Gremlins, then this could be amazing and it could be awesome. My concern is that it's going to be all CG. Like, they're awesome because
nobody wants to see CG Gremlins. That's what made, that's the biggest problem I see right now with the 80s and 90s movies versus the 2000s and now the 10s, is because of the fact that what made them special is that they looked real, they felt real. There was some magic to it.
Yeah.
And I think that magic is kind of lost with CGI.
I agree. It's kind of like, a couple of my friends and I have talked about this. In The Hobbit, the main bad guy was like all CG. I don't know if you saw The Hobbit or not. Did you see it?
We talked about this. You were on the show.
I know, but I don't remember if you saw it or not.
What are you talking about? Yeah, of course I saw it. That was all three of us got together and did a full review.
I remember Nick seeing it because he was like, oh, I'm not going to go see it for the next one. I just didn't remember if you saw it. But the albino orc or whatever was like all CG. And in the previous movies, almost a very large portion of like every member of the cast, like whether it's just the other orcs and stuff, they were all makeup and real. And I thought that really took away from The Hobbit was the CG bad guy, where they hadn't really been CG before. And so that's
really
how I kind of
point.
And I could see that totally changing this movie. You know, because they like you said, just the like kind of the animatronic puppets gave them like this life, like, you know, because they're actually there in the room with these people, and so that made it what that movie is. And if you take away from that, then it's just another CG movie.
And I don't care what you say, if you have the living doll in front of you acting, you actually give a different performance than you acting to a tennis ball. I don't care. I mean, people will say and argue it, and the actors all the time say, oh yeah, we're so used to it now. But I don't believe that's true.
Yeah.
I believe that if you have something in front of you that's physically acting with you, you're going to pull a different performance out. I mean, look at how rigid and nasty the Star Wars, all the Star Wars guys actors were in the prequels.
Agreed. Yeah, I agree to that totally. I mean, in episode one, Jar Jar was played by Abed Best, and he was on set with them and was playing Jar Jar, so they weren't like talking to a tennis ball. They were talking to him, but he was just a shit character to begin with. And I said a bad word, which I know you're not supposed to do anymore.
That's okay. We'll bleep it. That's all you should do is swear, so that way Nick has a really long night.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking about enough to find each word.
Yeah, when I was listening to your show from the last one where you guys were talking about how you weren't going to cuss anymore, I was like, well, they can't have me on anymore because I'm just going
to... Sailor mouth. Yeah. Now, we're holding ourselves to the standard. We just want to, like I said, we just want to have that that wider audience. And so we're not going to limit our guests if we have them on. And we can just use the bleep word. So yeah. Go ahead, man. Run free.
Yes. Can't wait.
So... I don't know if this next story is a good story or if it's a bad story. I'm on the fence. It's Brett Ratner is going to make Hercules, and it's going to star Dwayne Johnson.
Then I can't help but laugh at some of these stories because really,
I don't. I mean, the Rock? They're running out of ideas here because
as Hercules,
it's funny to me. Because this year we're seeing Jack and the Giant, which is Jack and the Beanstalk.
Right.
And now we're getting Hercules. I mean, are we moving on from the comic book movies now and the books to children's books?
I'm guessing. I don't know. I mean, it's Brett Ratner. Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'll never forgive him for X-Men The Last Stand. I mean... Rush Hour 3. I mean...
I think they're trying to make a Rush Hour 4.
Why?
Money?
Why?
That's all it is, man. Just money.
But right, I don't care about a Hercules movie. Like, I don't... Hercules. And again, The Rock playing Hercules is just like... Stop.
Doesn't do anything for you.
No. At all. Like,
well, maybe this will do something for you, though.
What's that?
This, I'm very happy about. Although, it is going to be an Amazon... I think it's going to be an Amazon exclusive to go on their Amazon Prime streaming service.
Really?
Zombieland is becoming a TV show.
See, that's exciting. That's awesome. Especially since they said that, like, the sequel isn't going to happen. So, a TV show would be awesome.
There's been some scripts out there, and they're saying that ABC is a part of it. They're kind of in the works, but now I'm hearing Amazon as well.
Awesome. So they're going to kind of do it like what Netflix is doing with like Arrested Development, where it's just going to be exactly. Straight to them. See, that's exactly. So smart, man. That's how these people are going to run TV into the ground. Like, just...
Oh, yeah, and just especially because all the TVs are becoming smart TVs. There's we're probably not going to see it for another 10 years where it's fully kind of it's taken over, but we're already starting to see it with the youth and with the teenagers and the 20s and 30s to where we're all adapting to watching our favorite TV shows a day after they release on Hulu.
Yeah.
Or just waiting until the season's over and then catching the entire season on Netflix.
That's what I do.
Yeah, so, but that's really exciting. I don't see here, let me look real quick, if there's any major cast members coming in from the actual movie. Doesn't say.
I haven't been able to find anything.
No, I would guess that they would have to, it's definitely going to have to be some funny people in it.
I would hope that... I'm sure all these people are like super busy with other movies and stuff and probably don't want to do a TV show. Even if it was just like a short season, like 6 episodes that were like 40 minutes each or something, I would totally watch it. But I want the cast to be back.
Oh, okay. So the main characters are going to be Tallahassee, Columbus, Wichita, and Little Rock.
Okay, so they have to bring them back. I don't, you know, like why recast when you've got...
Yeah. So, yeah, they'd have to. Unless they do recast, which is going to suck because no one... I mean, who's going to play Woody Harrelson?
Yeah, exactly.
Except for Woody Harrelson.
Yeah.
So, that's funny.
But if it is going to something like Amazon or Netflix or, you know, something like that, maybe they're sinking a little bit more money into it because It's a subscribe service sort of thing, so maybe they have a little bit more money to throw at it.
That's possible.
So maybe they could bring in these actors.
Could be. I mean, Arrested Development did it.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, Netflix did it with Arrested Development, so why not?
That'd be smart.
All right, so they are making... there's a lot of reboot and remake news, and I can't help that. That's just what's happening in Hollywood. I know, I know that a couple of people give me flack. They're like, oh, all you do is talk about like all these big franchises and everything. That's all that's being made. I mean, what do you want me to report on, you know? So seriously. they're putting out Terminator 5. And they've hired the script from Shutter Island and Drive Angry. I mean, not they've hired the script. The actual script is walking on set. Hey guys. They've hired the writers of Shutter Island and Drive Angry
so that makes
to
a
write
bit more
Terminator
sense.
5.
I
mean, that's good. That's the right direction. That's the first, you know, that's the first thing of doing it right is getting a pair of decent writers.
Well, I didn't see Drive Angry, so I'm not really sure how the writers did on that. Shutter Island was good. I enjoyed it.
Drive Angry was really good.
Was it?
Yeah.
If you say so.
I enjoyed it very much.
I'll take your word for it. But it's Terminator, so... I mean... You know...
Like, how are they going to top the enemies? I mean, they already did like a... Okay, so they went with a robot first, and then they went with the...
The liquid metal.
Yeah, the liquid metal. And then they put the liquid metal and metal together.
Yep.
And now what?
I don't know.
What do they got?
I guess we'll find out.
We will. He'll be back again and again.
I hope it's not him, though. I mean, he's got that new movie coming out this month, like in a couple days. I think this week,
actually.
Oh, it's
already out.
Is it? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. It sucked.
Did you watch it?
No, I think it just got it tanked.
Oh, no. I was kind of interested. I wasn't, like, excited, but I was interested just to see it. But now that I hear that it tanked, I'm less interested. Well,
do you know what it was called?
The Last Town? I think that's what it was called.
Yeah, something like that. I'm not even seeing it on the box office on the top five.
Oh, The Last Stand. It was in 10th.
Let's see. For opening weekend?
Oh, my.
That's not good.
No. That's terrible. All right, so a quick little thing here for all of our Sundance people out there.
See, this is totally for Nick. Like, this is a Nick
story.
This story was
for Nick, and I saved it for him. So, Nick, this... Oh, no. Doug, go ahead and dedicate this to Nick in your voice.
Nick... This is... Well, hold on. Let me start over. I can't do it either. Nick, this one's for you.
I'm going to save that drop and just play it randomly during the show next time. All right, so watch 12. You can watch 12 Sundance short films on YouTube. We're going to put the link in the description. They have a screening room on YouTube page. I'm sure you can search for it as well. And you can see some of the Sundance stuff going down there. So check it out and see if you like it.
It's cool. One of my friends was a part of a competition sort of thing. I think having to do with like Nintendo. I think Nintendo had like a competition to make a short that they screened at Sundance. And his short won. And I want to see it, but they haven't been able to put it online yet.
It is online now. You can go to joystick.com, and on joystick.com on their front page, they have a link to the films that Nintendo brought to Sundance.
Oh, well, his won, so I'm sure it's there then.
It's got to be. So, yeah, you can check it out. But there is one other big story. I saved it to the end. And it is that Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks have secured source material for another HBO Minisories. I think it's Steven Spielberg. I'm going back to Jurassic Park Minisories. for a third World War II miniseries on HBO.
There we go.
I don't have any complaints or anything about bad to say about it because of the fact that the first two were just incredible.
I haven't seen the Pacific.
I have fallen in love with these stories that they have told, and... Tom Hanks just really loves his World War II history.
Yeah, he does.
So,
yeah, see, Band of Brothers is really good, but like I said, I haven't seen the Pacific, so I'm excited.
Band of Brothers really created a lot of careers.
It really did.
A lot of actors came out of that show. So it's pretty neat. So who knows what we'll get a new round of people in this one.
Do we know what it's going to be about yet? Have they specified?
I guess it is. Okay, the source material they picked up is Masters of the Air. So that's the ones that they have the rights for. And it's based on oral histories, archive, but wait, not world. The world's first and only bomber war. So I'm guessing this one's going to have to do with planes.
Interesting. Okay. That'll be kind of cool. So like bombers.
Yeah.
The many will follow the bomber boys of the 8th Air Force, who were based in England and fought in the air war against Germany.
You know what? All I had to do was scroll down two paragraphs to read that.
Yeah.
Awesome. So that's the news for the week. Let's head over to the backs. Oh my gosh, that's two now I've screwed up on.
Yeah, we're not two doing intro. Too well.
I'm usually a pro at this.
Sorry, Nick.
All right, let's move over to the box office battlefield.
Yeah, that's it.
That's going to be the drop too. I'm not even putting in the Nick. Don't even put in the little play that we usually have.
Hey, real quick, before, and maybe they can move this back, I went on the joystick and I did find my friends. It's on the Nintendo brought these three Wii U videos to Sundance, and it's the third one down.
Awesome.
So it's there. So if you guys want to watch it, it's on joystick.com.
Cool. And we'll put the link in the description as well.
Yeah, my buddy Alex is in one of those, so it's awesome. Okay, continue. So, box office battlefield.
All right, so coming in at number five, and a very disappointing number five, is Broken City.
Broken City. I don't even know what that is. Mark Wahlberg, Russell Crowe. Man, I've not seen crap on this. I don't know anything about this.
Maybe that's why it failed, is the marketing came out too late.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking at the cast list, and it's a pretty good cast list. Mark Wahlberg, Russell Crowe, Catherine Zeta-Jones. I mean, yeah. How...
The previews, when I saw the previews, it looked very exciting.
Oh, well.
So that got $9 million in its first week.
Ouch.
Number four is Gangster Squad, rounding out with $32 million. Number three, this has jumped back up top, because Jennifer Lawrence got the... Golden Globe Awards, but at number three, Silver Linings Playbook.
Nice.
And that made $11 million for topping out at $55 million. It's been in the theaters for 10 weeks.
Is it really?
Yeah, so it's, I mean, that goes to show you that what the awards can do for your movie.
No joke.
Number two is Zero Dark 30, coming in at $17.6 million. They just passed the $55 million threshold. And number one is a movie that I will not see. I refuse to see it.
you don't like scary movies?
Listen, I am fine with scary movies as long as they don't happen in real life. If it can happen in real life, I don't want to see it. So these and especially with kids, I don't want to see kids like being oh god, it freaks me out.
I don't know if this is something that can happen in real life.
I didn't even say the name of the movie yet. This is all built up. It's Mama pulled in $28.1 million, making it number one at the box office this week. So yeah, I can't do that. I can't do that movie. Now I'll go see the new Evil Dead, but not this.
But I mean, you've seen the trailer for Mama, right? I mean, like,
yes, there's, it's like freaking a, there's like me ghost. Out. There's, I don't like the kids, man. Stuff. I don't like the kids. The kids being all freaky and running on the walls and being like, I say Dead People Part 2. It doesn't work for me.
It's going to be something. I probably won't go see it in theaters, but I may.
Because you're too scared. I know. Me
watch
too.
It later.
Hey, Doug.
I'm just worried that it's gonna suck. I hate wasting money on crappy movies, and scary movies sometimes are the worst.
I'm getting to the point where I'm about to stop watching movies in the movie theater because of the prices.
Yeah.
Hey, Doug.
What's up?
Who dat?
Who dat? Yeah, and then I think there's some music that goes along with it.
You're totally ruining this whole podcast.
Ruining? I'm making it better.
We can't even put our drops in because of you. That's three in a row now.
You can still put the drop in. You just cut my voice out. It's really easy. You just go snip, snip, and then drop in the drop.
We're totally live. I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, shit.
All right, so... Go ahead and name off who we're talking about this week, Doug.
On the Who Dat, Peter Stormare.
That's right, Peter Stormare. Because if I said it, I would have said Peter Stormare. you may remember him.
I do.
As the Russian from Armageddon. Now, that was the first time I saw this guy, and I could do his voice really well.
Do it.
Okay. This is the Russian space station.
That's pretty good.
This is how you fix things on space station! What do you think?
It's okay.
It's dead on! No, okay, hold on. Let me do this one more time. Now really focus.
I'm focusing.
I am Russian from Russian space station. You know how to get off my rock. What? Huh?
No, it definitely sounds like him. I just don't think those are words that he says.
No, it's not. But that doesn't matter. It's the voice. Give me some credit.
See, I know him from like Jurassic Park. He was in Lost World.
He was also in a very popular TV show called Prison Break.
Yeah.
I loved him in Prison Break. He was also in The Big Lebowski, Bad Boys 2, Fargo. He has been in a ton of movies and TV shows. He's also been on Ben 10, Ultimate Alien.
Yeah, I saw that.
Strange. Entourage.
Yeah, I was looking to see what he has coming out. Not really anything that I know much about. Except he's going to be in the Hansel and Gretel Witch Hunters movie.
Yeah, that's where I saw him in the trailer, and I decided to bring him up because I just really have enjoyed him as an actor, and he's never made it. I mean, obviously he's never going to be like a Hollywood star. But he played. I mean, his backup roles are incredible. He's a good guy. Have you ever met him? I met him.
Have you?
Yeah, he's actually the one who taught me how to do his voice.
Oh. And
he told me that it was dead on.
Well, then why do you need my validation? Then you've got his.
Well, because I respect your thoughts, and for you to tell me that it wasn't, it kind of hurt me.
I never said it wasn't.
Well, you kind of did. I mean, Peter was like, oh, very good, very good. And I was like, oh, thanks, man. And he was like, no problem.
Sounds like him.
Yeah, thanks, man! It's about time. So go check out Peter's movies if you haven't seen them. Check them out on IMDb. You can see everything that he's in. And go rent. Or go see him in Hansel and Gretel, because that's another child's book that's coming out.
Yeah. He was also in The Brothers Grimm, which would also be a children's book turned movie.
That one I enjoyed.
Really? I didn't see it.
Are you serious? Go rent it. It's really cool. It's a good movie. Go get it.
Okay.
Now.
Okay.
Now.
Well, I'll be back. I have to go find a Redbox. I don't know why it would be there.
Okay. So, our next segment, let's see if I can not screw this one up. What are you watching?
Are you watching closely?
Hey, didn't even interrupt that time.
I don't know it. Don't remember that one.
That's the one where it goes, "Are you watching?"
Oh,
and then it does the little techno beat. That's my favorite, man. Yeah. I almost want to make that our theme.
I like that one a lot too. Yeah,
it's so much fun. I like sit there and rewind it just to listen to it.
So what did you go see? Did you go see anything this week,
Doug? I gotta admit something, man. I am dry.
So no.
Mm-mm. I have had a really busy weekend, and I didn't get a chance to get out to the movie theater. How about you?
Nope.
Is going to be a really short segment.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I watched some movies today and in my home. Okay. But I didn't.
What did you watch?
I'm trying to think if I watched anything that was actually new or.
Okay. Well, while you're thinking.
Well, I watched. I mean, I can tell you what I watched. I watched The Cabin in the Woods.
Okay.
I watched Chronicle.
Uh huh.
And then I watched Hitchcock.
See, here's the problem. You know what? They're all new enough. They're not hitting 2011, so we're not taking away from real reviews. Give us a short rundown of the three movies that you watched. I watched the 49ers play, and I watched the Patriots play. If that counts.
I don't think it does. Not here.
Yeah, okay. I'm sorry. Well, go ahead, man. The floor is yours.
Okay. Let's see. Some mini reviews of the movies I watched. The Cabin in the Woods was freaking awesome. I want them to make... They said they won't make a sequel. Because if you watch the movie, you'll understand why they can't make a sequel.
Mm-hmm.
But they should make a sequel anyways. Like, maybe it take like a prequel or something.
Oh, they could do it. Yeah, of course they can do a prequel. As long as it makes money, they can make something happen.
Yeah, well, because, again, I'm you've seen the movie, yes?
No, but I've heard a lot about it.
Okay, well, this is something...
Spoilers.
Oh, man, damn, I don't know how to explain it. It is, what happens in the movie has happened before.
Okay.
Like, every year, apparently. So, that being said... So
why couldn't they make a sequel?
Because of how... Oh, man, the ending. It's just how it ends.
Okay, now I have to see it. Yeah. Okay, moving on, because I don't want you to ruin it for me.
Okay, so that one was awesome. And again, I would love to see, like, a prequel for it. Chronicle was a really great story. And I think they did a really cool job with it. The problem is, I thought that some of the graphics looked terrible.
I would agree with you.
Yeah. Like...
I mean, they didn't have a huge budget.
No, and I understand that. And again, I enjoyed it. I'll definitely watch it again, and I would definitely recommend people to watch it because it was fun and it was cool. And there's a scene where they're like flying, and it's just like that's everyone's dream. Like I'm sure everyone has dreamed of flying, and like that part, I was like, oh my god, I'm so jealous. Like I would totally want to do that right now. That looks like so much fun. But then it looked pretty cheesy. Like, at the same time, it's like, man, I could have filmed that, like, in my garage with a green screen. But...
Yeah, that's true.
But it was cool, and it was fun, and I liked... I mean, I'm not a huge fan of, like, the found footage kind of shaky cam stuff, but I think this one kind of pulled it off real nice. And they kind of explained, like, some really nice camera techniques that were used because he's like controlling it with his head or his, you know, not with his head, but you know,
with his mind.
Yeah. So that was cool. Cause then you still get these really nice shots.
The cool part about it was that when all the cameras and in the hospital scene where he's got all these different electronics filming him.
Yeah.
That was really neat.
Yeah. Like, well, it was cool because there's a shot and it's from his camera. And so it's like perfect, you know, really nice quality. And his dad's like yelling at him.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And then the camera starts sliding forward. And it's this very cinematic moment. And then it cuts to like the security camera in the room. And you actually can physically see that camera moving. Like the one that you see that shot from. So that makes it really cool. Because you're like, man, this is really cinematic. And then you see it like moving. And so that was really cool.
They did a really good job. And they had some good ideas. I think they're going to make a sequel to that.
That would be interesting.
So I don't know what they're going to do. Like, he comes back from the dead.
Well, I mean, because they'd never really explain what happened to them. Like, whatever they stumbled across. I mean,
isn't that interesting how you can leave it out and still have a good movie?
Yeah, that was awesome. So maybe that's what they'll try to do, is maybe they'll bring it back. Or maybe it ends up somewhere else or whatever. Because it was like caved. Oh, man. Can't say too much without like a whole bunch of spoilers.
Spoiler alert. If you haven't seen it, go see it. But you're going to hear some shit right now. You're going to hear some stuff right now.
So in the movie, they stumble across this hole and there's this thing in it and it gives them superpowers. Like, that's pretty much the movie.
They don't show anything about anything. It's just it gets really loud and all of a sudden they're on the outside of it and the hole is caved in. There's nothing there anymore.
Yep.
And then it's like working a muscle. In order for them to get better at it, they get nosebleeds because they're working the muscle.
Yep.
And the better they get, the more powerful they are.
Yep.
Wait, that's the same exact thing. The better they get, the more powerful they are.
Well, I mean, that's what exercising is.
The more they
is.
Work at it, the more powerful they are.
There you go. So, yeah, they're like throwing rocks at each other, like practicing and just having fun. And then they like move a car and then they learn to fly. And it's awesome.
And then there's one kid who goes psycho.
Of course. You know, they have to have a bad guy.
My dad don't like me.
Yeah. So anyways, that one was awesome.
Yeah.
And then Hitchcock, I had read a couple of like really bad reviews on it because people just didn't like it. They thought it was corny and cheesy, but then, and I really wanted to see it, and then Nick on here went and saw it, and if I remember correctly, he loved it, and he thought it was really good. Hmm. So that kind of talked me into watching it, and I really enjoyed it, too. I mean, I grew up watching some of the Hitchcock TV little specials and stuff that he did, the TV show.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the movie's bookended. Like, it starts and ends just like one of his shows, and it's awesome. I thought it was really good.
That's pretty cool. So all three movies you would recommend people to go check out?
Definitely.
Cool. Awesome. Yeah. Well, that was short and sweet, but let's get really angry in the rant.
I'll use small words so that you'll be sure to understand, you warthog-faced buffoon.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, English giant twerp, scumbag, fuckface, dickhead, asshole!
You stuck-up, half-witted, scruffy-looking nerf herder!
You clinking, clanking, clattering collection of collisionous junk!
You shit-kicking, stinky horse manure smelling motherfucker, you!
So, we have a couple choices here of what to talk about. You brought up a good point for a rant in the middle of our show that I noted down here, and that's ticket prices.
That's a good one. Talk
about that.
That could also feed into the one that we talked prior to
right, recording. Because, yeah, let's do that. Okay, so pretty much where we're at right now in the movie industry is it started off, say they open a new theater, which they did here in town right next to me. The prices started off at $6.50 for a night movie. Now, this theater has been open now for probably 4 to 6 months. And now they're charging $9.50 per movie to go see. That's quite a big jump in that short amount of time. And I know it's not as bad here in Texas as it is in the northern parts of the states and things like that. But then you start adding on things like this. 3D, well, there's $13. 3D with XD, well, there's $16. And I can only imagine what the prices are in places like New York, LA, Chicago, where Nick is. And yes, there's a way to combat it, which is the movie pass. But a lot of people won't do that because they don't go see that many movies, and they don't go see that many movies because the prices are so high. So it's kind of like a vicious cycle that's going on right now.
Yep.
One thing that is unclear, and Hollywood keeps saying that they're losing money, but attendance is up, profits are up, so I don't see where their argument's coming from.
I have no idea. I mean, if attendance is up and people are spending $9+ on a movie, I mean, I guess when it costs them a couple hundred million dollars to make a movie, maybe that's where they're losing it. I mean, if you've got a movie coming out that only makes $9 million in its opening weekend, but it cost
Here's the thing. And for people that don't know, I don't know how many of you out there do or do not, but I'll give you a little rundown. Movie prices are not determined by the actual theaters. They're determined and pushed by actual Hollywood because of the fact that how much it costs. See, the cost used to be from buying the reels. Well, there's no reels anymore in movie distribution. It's all digital.
Yeah.
Now, there are some theaters, of course, that still need reels because they haven't gone all digital. But these newer theaters, and of course the ones that are getting remodeled, are all digital. The cost is $0. They put it on a server, and then they go, all right, push it out to every theater in America. And then the movie theater puts it keeps it on their server. And then, of course, when the theater run is done, then they delete it off of their servers. So there is no cost association anymore with sending it out to these theaters. It's only hosting it on the servers. Once the servers are paid off, that's costs already done. So they're charging so much. Now, the theaters are getting probably, I want to say, maybe 5 or 10% of the movie ticket profits. And so all their money comes from, of course, concession. And that's why concessions are so ridiculously priced.
Yep.
But since there aren't these barriers anymore, I don't see why they still need the 90 to 95% cut from ticket sales. I mean, some of that should go back to the theater to push costs down and then push more people into the theater. That's one problem I think that I see with the music industry. And, of course, we're seeing it with TV and things like that, is we have these old executives who think the old way. That's all they do is sit around and think, man, we can't go digital. Man, we can't do this and that. I think that what you're seeing in today's market is take the Apple devices and Android devices and the app stores, okay? These things come out for $1 a piece, which is really cheap. But at $1 a piece, you're guaranteed millions of people are going to pay attention. So if you charge $5 for it, for an app on the App Store, say you get 1 million downloads because it's $5. Well, if it's $1, you can get anywhere from 10 to 20 million people downloading that app. You're making more money than you would charging the $5. I think if they, instead of doing what they're doing now, if they just lower the prices, you're going to get even more people going in to see your films.
Definitely.
Is that just, I mean, am I wrong for thinking that way?
No, I don't think so at all. I mean, part of the reason why I don't see movies a whole lot in theaters is just is time. But the other part is, I mean, money. I mean, I have a lot of friends that go see movies because one of the rave theaters nearby does $5 Tuesdays. So they go on Tuesday nights. Well, I have plans every Tuesday. So I don't go with them, but they'll go like during the day and stuff, and they'll just spend $5 to go see a movie. And that's when my friends go, but like I said, I have plans, so I never go. And then by the time I have time to go, like on the weekend, you know, I don't want to spend $9 on a movie.
Right. And it's not spending $9 because you can't look at it that way. If you're going by yourself, then maybe. But usually, you know, if you're married, if you have a girlfriend, you're talking about a $20 admission price, and then yep. You're talking a $30 concession price. So you're up to $50 per week, because I know in Texas, movies is just a huge deal. This is what we do. We make a dinner and a movie. Now, of course, some people are doing the dinner and movies inside, which is really cool, but you're still spending $50 a night.
Yeah.
And so you're talking, if you love to go see movies, you're talking $200 a month in tickets and in theater, going to the theater. So, and even if you're just doing tickets, you're still talking about you're still talking $40 a month if you're going by yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, just for a ticket, that seems, it's a bit high for most people.
It is, and that's why I guess they think they're losing money. I don't know. I mean, I was looking at it. It cost Broken City $55 million to make it, and they've only made 9.
Right.
Like, that's where I guess they're losing their money. It's not these movies like The Hobbit and Mama, you know, that Mama's already made half of what it took to make it.
Right, but here's the thing. Broken City is going to make its money back. Maybe they'll break even in the theater, but they'll make their money back on the DVD sales.
Maybe.
And the rentals.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a very good chance of that happening because the DVD market is so high. It's amazing what you think will make money. It's plus the studios have forecasted. They have forecasters that can tell what a movie's going to make and how it's going to do. I think it was Kevin Smith had a very good story on one of his podcasts that he runs, and he was talking about how he went to the studio for Cop Out, and they said, "This is how much money you're going to make in your first week. This is how much you have to spend, and this is how much profit we're going to make off of it." And he didn't even roll a single thing yet. And you know what? They were right. As soon as it happened, they forecasted it perfectly. So I think they have an idea, and with all the movies that they have lined up, and I'm not saying that some don't lose money. Of course, movies do lose money, and some do better than others, and some do worse than others. But the movies that they do come out with, hell, these comic book movies are paying for the entire slate for the year.
Yeah.
I mean, they're breaking the $1 billion mark, and they're making a profit of $900 million. And we're not even talking, we're not even talking worldwide. So yeah. I don't know if that is a conclusive reason of why these prices are so high. I mean, of course, the reason why they're so high is because executives just want more and more, and they want their profits to go up, of course. I mean, it doesn't take a scientist to know that.
Right. But, I mean, they can't complain about how they're losing money if they're just going to keep charging more. Like, it doesn't... You know, maybe to them it makes sense, like, oh, we're losing money, so let's make it cost more, so then we'll get our money back. But then it's like, well, then you're going to lose money because people aren't going to go because they don't want to spend $15 on a movie ticket.
Right, which leads to piracy.
Yep, which is the second half of our rant.
So, it's... My thing... I don't particularly like to download movies. Like, mentally, it's like, man, I feel bad about it because I do like to support the movies and things like that. But at a certain point, people get to, in their kind of mentality, is like, well, I'm getting screwed by these theaters and by these movie companies. Well, screw them. I'm just going to download it.
Yeah. My thinking more is maybe the movie hasn't grabbed me enough to pay to see it in a theater. And so I still want to watch it, because then my only other option is to go buy it and watch it.
Well, let me ask you something.
At that point, I'm spending another $30 on a Blu-ray or something, you know?
Do you think that the torrents... Because there's been research out there that says that the torrents actually help people. And this is a big case with that Gundam-style song. He allowed everyone to download it as much as they wanted, remake it without saying any kind of copyright issues.
Right.
And he's made just truckloads of money off of it doing that way. And... a lot of people say that, yes, I download torrents, I download movies illegally, but the movies that I really like that I was on the fence about, I actually go and pick up on Blu-ray.
Yep.
Is that the case for you as well?
Definitely. And TV shows. But I'm a little bit more lax on TV shows because I can watch most of the shows I watch on free, like, TV anyways, you know, like, what, you know, Channel 5 or, you know, NBC or ABC. And I don't pay for that. So right. If I torrent it, what the fuck does it matter? Because I have a very large like TV collection, like on DVD and Blu-ray. Anyways,
mm-hmm.
But I want to watch it when it comes out. But I don't. I may not be at my TV that night, and I may want to watch it later. But I right. still buy it. And the same thing. This is how I am with movies. And a couple of the movies and stuff that I've actually downloaded and stuff in the past have been movies that I've actually already seen in the theater, but I don't necessarily want to fork out the money to go see it again in the theater.
I see. Yeah.
Such as, like, I may get myself in trouble, I don't know. Like, Life of Pi. Saw it in theater, saw it in 3D, you know, spent the you know, what, I don't even remember how much that was. It was retarded expensive because it was at a rave theater. It was the extreme screen. So that's more money because it's a big screen. Like, it's like
IMAX. It's funny how they can charge you an extra $3 to just watch at a bigger screen. And the marketing is BS. It's like, bigger screen, more sound, better seating.
I mean, it's an awesome theater. I mean, it's kind of like an IMAX without it actually being an IMAX. But then it was also in 3D. So it was like a $17 movie ticket. And I thoroughly enjoyed the movie. I thought The Life of Pi was amazing. And I wanted to watch it again. But I didn't want to have to spend an additional $17 to watch it again. So I torrented it. And I will be buying it on Blu-ray when it comes out because I love that movie. But I want to watch it again now and not spend the money. Same thing with Django. I love Django. But I may have gotten my hands on a screener because I want to watch it again. But I don't.
Isn't it annoying how, though, in the middle of the film, it pops up and says, "You know, the support your best supporting actor." You know,
yeah.
Do you have that screener where it pops up in the middle of the movie?
If that's on that movie, I haven't watched it yet. Same thing with Life of Pi. Now at the beginning, though, then they do say, like, you know, do not duplicate, and I just laugh because I'm like, someone already did.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like, again, those are movies that I've already watched, and I know that I'm gonna buy. And then, like, Hitchcock is not showing anywhere near us. Where the fuck am I supposed to... I'm not going to drive to Dallas to watch this movie. I'm sorry, because one, that means getting gas, and then driving to something where, like, the Angelica to watch it, where the movie tickets are there, are also $20 just because it's the Angelica, or whatever, you know? And it's like, where am I going to watch this movie? Well, I'm just going to watch it from home, because...
It's easier this way.
It's easier, and I like that movie. I'm probably going to go buy it on Blu-ray when it comes out. So I'm going to drop $30 on it. So they're making their money off of me, even if I am torrenting it.
That's true, because, I mean, the Blu-ray is going to cost you $30, and a ticket would have cost you $10, so they're making an extra $20 off you.
Yeah, and, I mean, I guess technically the store is getting a cut of that profit somewhere, but, I mean, they're still making more money off of me than, you know...
Yeah, exactly. So... I'm with you. I think the torrents actually help a lot of films. There are people out there that's all they do, and they will not step into a theater, and I think that's wrong of them. I think that you definitely have to support your movies and your music at some point. You just can't go out and steal it, you know. And so I see both sides of the arguments, but I do see that it actually helps a lot more than it does harm. And these it's funny. This is a fun little fact here, a little tidbit, if you will. And I think I said it, I may have said it to Nick, I'm not 100% sure, but the music industry has spent more on lawyers than it has recovering money from people who have stolen music.
I bet. I don't know. It's a little bit different. I mean, nowadays, most of these bands and stuff really make their money off of merchandising and touring and stuff like that than they are the actual CD sales. Like, they're going to get more cut and more money, like, when they go play it.
Yeah, I mean, that's always been the way it has been for them. If I really enjoy a band, I'll buy their album.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of music now that you just don't know about. And, as I'm getting older, I'm seeing that these bands are getting younger, of course, and so I don't know if I'm going to match up to these, if I'm going to like their sound.
Exactly.
A lot of it's very bubblegummy now.
And there's a couple of bands where I may like one of their albums, but I still may go torrent one of their other ones just to hear it, just to see if I like it, and then go from there. Because there's a couple of bands where, you know, again, I like this album, but this new one is trash. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I do buy a lot of my music through iTunes. I mean, I would say maybe 80% of my library is stuff purchased through iTunes. I mean, other stuff is, of course, from, like, my CD library that I digitized and stuff like that. But, I mean, I do buy a lot of music. But yeah. I was a musician also, so I kind of feel, that's one where I do feel super guilty about downloading stuff.
You're like, man, if this were me, I'd be really angry.
Yeah, exactly. Where it's like, I don't want people. But then again, at the same time, like, I don't care. Like, if you've downloaded my music, cool. That means you're listening to my music. So that's pretty awesome. I'm not getting any money out of it, so that sucks. But
my name is getting out there.
Yeah, and then maybe they will go buy it. You know, so it's a, I don't know.
Double-edged sword.
It is, because again, like I said, I feel bad, but
I'm going to keep doing it.
For movies and TV, definitely. And especially, like I said, with TV, like, it's free anyways. So what does it matter if I download it or if I DVR it? Like,
right. Isn't it essentially the same thing if you're DVRing it and then you're just fast-forwarding through the commercials?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's just so I'm just... Yeah, I have it permanently on my computer until I buy it on Blu-ray or DVD or whatever, you know, when it actually comes out at the end of the season.
Right.
Like, who, I mean, what does it matter? Yeah, like...
It doesn't. So, that's, I mean, that's pretty much the rant. I mean, we don't want to pay for the movies. We're kind of forced to. And if we don't know about a movie, we may download it just to figure it out. But then we'll buy the Blu-ray. If
that's
we
right.
like it.
Right. And that again, and that's how I was with, like, the movies I watched today. All three of those movies I had downloaded and I watched... Because I didn't know if I was going to like them or not. I mean, I had heard mixed reviews on all three of them, and then I loved all three of them, so I'm going to go buy all three of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I want all the special features and, like, the good, super nice quality. And
right. That's understandable. So that's the rant this week, folks. We hope you liked it. We kind of went on a little bit with it, but that's okay. That's all right. And, Doug, I want to thank you. I had to call Doug at the very last minute. You don't understand. I was about to do this show alone, or maybe with my wonderful, wonderful, wonderful co-partner in life, Ashley. And she has a cold, so she was like, I'm going to sound like a man. And I was like, no, you'll be all right. Okay.
Was she Sling Blade? What is she?
Yeah, she's Sling Blade.
I'm going to be on your podcast.
It's only when she has a cold. Okay. So, but thank you, Doug, for coming out. And
well, thank you for thinking of me when you needed somebody.
It's your voice.
And now it's so good.
Stop that. Stop that. So every week we end the show kind of in a fun way now, kind of like a quirky kind of ending. So what do you got?
God damn it. I knew this was going to happen.
You got nothing?
I got nothing. Oh, man.
Go enjoy a banana split.